Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Markets had finished out the week after kind of a busy week. We had reports that came in, a lot of outside market influences all weighing in as well. But we're going to find out kind of what the market's looking at and where do we go forward on this. And joining us today to get all the details is Jeff Peterson. Jeff, of course, is with Heartland Farm Partners. So kind of start out, let's look at these corn and soybean markets. What's your takeaway and how are things looking for them right now?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting day of trade, and it was a good way to end. It was great to see the amount of green on the screen that we did. You know, May corn ended up six and three quarters. Soybeans really had a nice recovery at the end there, and up 14 and three quarters. Across the wheat complex, we ended up having Chicago wheat up 4, Kansas City wheat up 6, Minneapolis wheat up 5, and we've got a nice tailwind coming from the crude oil market, currently up about 43 cents a barrel. But if we look overall how the week's trade went on the May corn, up about a penny and a quarter. And earlier this morning when I ran the numbers, actually we are down for the week. So we had a nice recovery in the trade today. As we look at the December corn, still down about a half cent. We're a little lower for the week on soybeans, down 11 on May soybeans, down 8.5 on November soybeans. But Susan, as we look big picture on this, what we know is the funds are still short on corn and on soybeans and also on Chicago wheat. Our overall feeling is that they've been buying back, and really they started buying back their position and doing some short covering starting about 5 weeks ago, and they've just gradually been buying that position back. But there's still, and we'll find out more this afternoon, but you know, our numbers as of last Friday would have shown them still short about a little bit over 259,000 contracts on corn, a little bit shorter than 138,000 contracts on soybeans. And they're just, I don't think they want to carry that position into the spring planting time. So when we see a little weakness in the market, then we do see some buying. Now, personally, as we look at how the market handled the report yesterday, I really think the trade action yesterday is over-exaggerated, really too weak for what we saw for overall conditions. We have to remember that over the last two reports across the commodities of corn, soybeans, and wheat, we actually did see them lower world stocks on all three commodities. But the interesting thing about that was done, especially this last time, without making any adjustments, you know, to that South American production, in particular to Brazil and Brazil's corn and soybean production. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now, Susan. Corn and soybeans are just looking for that next thing to move them, you know, from here.
Well, having said that, Jeff, what is the next thing? What are some factors that we need to watch out for corn and beans as this market goes into very busy planting season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that the market's really looking at, it has to come, I believe, from the supply side. There'll be some out there that'll disagree with me and say, oh, it could be demand, but I don't think there's anything on the demand side that can make a big enough difference. So it really has to come back to the supply side. And when we start talking about the supply side, you know, really what we're talking about is South American weather and U.S. weather, and are the items that really we're going to end up having to see some positive news out of those areas to get this market going and to keep it going higher, Susan.
So South American weather, is that going to continue to kind of look the way it has, or what do you see moving forward for them?
You know, really, it surprised me a little bit. You know, we know that soybean crop is going to continue to get smaller, even though we didn't see it in this last WASDE report. My belief and what we're hearing with our boots on the ground, information is that it's going to go ahead and tighten up and get a little smaller yet. The Safrinha corn crop is one that's surprised me a little bit. We know there's about 30% of that crop in the southern part of Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, and also the southern part of Sao Paulo that probably could still use some more moisture. Now, it's actually picked up more moisture than what I really kind of thought it was going to in here. And going forward here, the weather forecast doesn't really look too bad for those areas. But as we know, here shortly, their dry season will begin. And if it begins just a little bit early, then I think what ends up happening is that we do end up seeing the estimates on that Safrinha corn crop continue to get smaller. The other side of that also gets to be what we're seeing coming out of Argentina. Overall, I thought Argentina, you know, last year Argentina produced about 35 million metric tons on the corn side, about 25 million metric tons on the soybean side. And I thought the estimates that were in place, you know, a few weeks ago, sitting there in that 55 area, give or take a few metric tons on the corn side, I thought that felt okay. But now what we're hearing, and we're hearing it both out of the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, we're hearing out of it also out of the Rosario Grain Exchange, we're hearing smaller numbers on the corn side. And that's really coming back because of that stunted corn disease, which is really being caused by higher than normal infestation levels of the leafhoppers there in Argentina. And as we talk to other analysts down in Argentina, what it does sound like is it does sound like probably going forward, we are going to see the corn production numbers come down smaller. And that isn't something necessarily that we thought. We thought we'd only see some problems with production coming out of Brazil. So that's kind of how things are looking at right now down there, Susan.
You know, you talk about the weather and from the corn and the bean perspective, though, overall, how is the crop looking? I know we've got some harvest underway, and there had been some concerns early about this safrinha corn crop.
Yeah, exactly. And let's just kind of remember, right now they're about 80% harvested on the bean side. You know, obviously they've got all that safrinha crop planted on the corn. In the very southern parts of Brazil, what we'd notice is that there's probably about 33% of the crop that's in the pollination stage, about 15% of the crop in the early ear fill stage. And then as you move on down into Argentina, we know there's about 2% of that the soybean crop harvested. And there's probably about 12% of the corn crop harvested. So that kind of gives you an idea where things are setting at down there at this time.
All right. Well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more to come up as we get ready for the second half on this Friday of the Channel Final Bell. When we come back, we're going to talk U.S. weather. It's that time of year. Corn planters are starting to move. I've seen a few even moving in my neck of the woods. So we know the weather's going to come a very important factor for these grain markets. More is coming up. It's the Friday version of the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as our conversation does continue today with Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. So before we went to break, we were talking about the weather in South America. Flip gears, 80s this weekend here in the Midwest. If that doesn't get folks wanting to get in the field, Jeff, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, the weather conditions we've got and what we have for a forecast, the planters are just going to continue to, you know, just keep increasing day by day. You know, when we looked at the crop progress numbers, which we kind of got to get used to looking at those again this past week, you know, corn planting, so it's at 3%, which was really just about right at the five-year pace. Now, we know when we come into this next week, Western Corn Belt would have made some progress. The only challenges we're going to run into is that Eastern Corn Belt is just continuing to have, you know, they've had a lot of rain. They've got some more rain forecasted. And then also as we move down into the, you know, northeast part of Texas and all across really the lower part of the Delta and some of those states through there that should be getting some planting done, they've had a lot of wet conditions too. So it looks like it's kind of going to be the tale of kind of two planting areas. You're going to have the Western Corn Belt that's going to make some headway. Now, we've got some additional rain showers coming in as we get into the first part of next week, depending on which forecast you look at. So that could shut things down a little bit. We'll have to see whether or not those materialize. But overall, it looks like at least in the Western Corn Belt, we're going to get off to a good start of planting, then, and it's going to be dragging on a little bit in the East. Now, that is one of the types of items, Susan. I believe that honestly, if it did get too wet and we saw the Eastern Corn Belt physically not be able to get going and this happens and we're a couple weeks down the road, that's the type of item then in the weather side that could help that corn market work its way higher. I think that item would actually be more likely to help us than if all of a sudden it turns hot and dry in here. I think we've got enough moisture to get this crop in. We also got enough moisture to get this crop off to a pretty good start. We don't have enough moisture to finish this crop out. We're definitely running short on subsoil. But there's time, and I believe the market believes there's time, you know, for those showers still to come later on down the road.
Yeah, bite your tongue about hot and dry weather. We need some good things to happen. Let's take a look at, what about the corn and the beans, as we look at that from a technical perspective?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's interesting. Starting off on corn, actually, the corn trade today, the last 2 days, and for that matter, over this last week, we really just been kind of going sideways. But if we were to draw it in and visualize it, it's kind of putting it into a pennant formation where we're just bringing down. Basically, the highs were lower and the lows were higher, and we're just squeezing it into this point where we're going to break out one way or the other. And today's action, you know, we traded lower than what we would have yesterday, and we came back up and traded just as high as we did yesterday. So we have what's called a hook reversal in that market, which was good. But the other thing about it that I noticed as I looked at the chart on corn, this is the first time that we actually closed above the top side of this downward channel that we're in. Now, one close doesn't necessarily mean we're going to break out of here, but that's one of the things that we do need to see happen. We need to break out of this downtrending channel in here. And what I think will happen is that if we get on the top side of this, we started out with the close today, I think we've got some additional buying that will show up on that top side. And then if we are able to break a little bit higher, I think the next level where there's some resistance comes in that 448 area. And then after that, you get about 12 cents higher than that. We're up there around that 100-day moving average. And I think if we get up into that area, then we'll find more buying will show up. The funds will start wanting to get out of this market in a bigger way. Now, I don't think the market can do all this just from the technical side. We do need to see some South American weather problems kick in here or some U.S. weather problems to kind of help go ahead and move this along. But that's what it looks like on the corn side. Bean action today was really interesting. As we came in and looked at it right after the market, you know, opened back up at 8:30, we saw a really nice surge on the soybean meal side. We saw a really nice surge happen, at least initially, on the bean oil side. And then both of those came together to give us a nice move higher on the soybean side. But challenge was that bean oil ran into some selling pressure up there at about 46.67, and it reversed and went ahead and started trading lower. But the positive part is meal was able to keep going higher, and soybeans followed along, and now looks like we're just kind of on the top side of this downtrending channel also on beans. Overall, as we look down the road, we do think we'll have a chance to see this market work a little bit higher yet, Susan.
So are we going to have to make any adjustments when it comes to our marketing plan?
Well, as of right now, I'd say still don't want to make any additional old crop sales here. Keep a very close eye on basis levels. These April and May basis levels are very good. So if you've got some corn and you can move it during April and May here, take advantage, get some of this basis locked up for April and May. I wouldn't do anything for June and July yet. We do know that there'll be some pressure on those June and July basis levels once everybody gets done with planning. But I think we can see some better numbers on those basis levels yet once planning's over. So.
All right. Great conversation as always. Best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah. Give me a call at 402-366-4694. Check us out on the web at heartlandfarmpartners.com or follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at JeffPeterson01.
And that is today's Channel Final Bell. The Channel Final Bell is brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.